You'll open your Bibles this morning to Mark, the 16th chapter. As I was looking for text over the last few weeks and looked at the various Gospels and their account of the Easter morning resurrection story, I settled in on Mark here because of one word. As you read beginning in Mark 16, verse 1, the typical story of Easter that you'd find in the other Gospels, as the women, they gather, they go to the tomb that Easter morning to finish the work on the body of Christ, to mourn. As they arrive there, they find an empty tomb. They are just kind of summarizing the story there. They find that empty tomb and the angel that speaks to them. And as the ladies run away in Mark's gospel, he says something to them that I think is there's one word there that jumps out at me. It says, as they ran away, they trembled and were amazed. As I looked at that, I didn't see that in other accounts. But that little word amazed kind of got my attention as I thought about what it must have been like that Easter morning as they arrived there at the tomb and as they began to run. As I thought about it, you know, we don't really use the word amazed, amazing that often. I kind of thought over in my memory, where do I hear the word amazed? Most of the time, you hear the word amazed, or amazing. Typically, it shows up in television commercials. That's the only place I can think of that I really remember hearing the word, because every time you turn around, they've come up with something else. Amazing, they say. But typically most of us, we don't talk about being amazed very often. We just don't use that word. Quite honestly, we've come to the point in America, I think especially in America, where we're probably not amazed that often. I mean, we've watched men be launched and orbit and land on the moon. We have seen microwave ovens cook stuff in seconds that used to take hours. You know, we're just typically not amazed that much anymore. There's just it takes a good bit to amaze us. And as I thought about these women and what they experienced that morning, as they ran away, I thought it was an interesting combination that they were trembling and amazed at the same time. The whole emotion. I tried to imagine that as they arrived at that tomb, the emotions that they were dealing with. No doubt they went there with sadness and sorrow in their heart. They were grieving over the crucifixion of Christ and what they had witnessed in the last few days. They went there with a great deal of love in their heart to minister to Christ, to finish the burial process, to get everything this as they were going there to do. They were probably still a little bit confused as they walked along. It also says that it was early in the morning. Just looking at you and guessing, they were probably a little bit weary-eyed, okay? They had all kinds of emotions, and then they get there, and now they're angry, they're confused a little bit further as they get there, and someone has rolled the stone away, and so all kinds of emotions, and then they get that news that he's not here, he's risen. Go and tell everybody. The excitement still, and the confusion I'm sure now has ramped up another level. But that one word that says they were amazed. When's the last time you were amazed? When's the last time specifically you were amazed by Christ? When is the last time you were amazed? We have, as I said, we're very difficult to amaze in our culture. We just don't get amazed very often. And Easter, in many ways, has become like other holidays, like other celebrations. We have done this before. We've had this discussion before. We've talked about this before. We know the story. It's almost, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we kind of almost get a little bit immune to the amazement of what we're talking about. And the Easter celebration. I think about the other world's religions and the things that they celebrate, and the other world cultures and the celebrations, the big events in their calendar. And nobody has anything to compare to Easter. Nobody, no other religion, nobody has anything to compare with what we're celebrating this morning, you know, with getting up. Well, imagine if you were a part of another world's religion and they said, hey, let's get up really early, you know, let's be at wherever we meet at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and let's go down to the graveyard and let's stand around where, you know, our leader's buried. You're right. He can wait till lunchtime. You know, that's just, think about it. You know, nobody else has anything like it. You know, I think about CD and I joke a lot. Some of you know CD, there's a Buddhist temple near where CD lives and I live, and they have all kinds of celebrations. A few years ago, they nailed all these different colored sticks up and all this stuff. And I don't know what they were celebrating, but I know what they weren't celebrating. Yeah, I know what they weren't celebrating. They weren't celebrating a living, risen leader. They were, you know, they had to gather. I looked it up to see what it was. It had something to do with the moon. They had to have a big celebration around something my God created. I like that. That tells you the level of where other world's religions are. That they're gathering and having their big celebration around the moon. You know, again, something that my God created with His spoken word. Just said, let it be there. Now we moved on. And that's what they gathered together to celebrate. But nobody has anything that compares to the amazing story that we celebrate with the resurrection of Christ. And I thought about that. What were they amazed about? What were those women, as they ran there in verse 8, and it says they ran to tell the others, they were trembling and they were amazed. What were some of the things that just very simply were amazing about Christ and what they were meeting for, what they were excited about? And no doubt as they ran and, you know, here they've had this announcement, He's not here, He is alive. All of a sudden, you know, I can only imagine that as they heard those words, they said, I remember Him saying that. You know, I remember Him saying that He would be back. I remember that. And so they were no doubt probably amazed by His life. As they ran, they were thinking, you know, is there anything in my remembrance? Is there anything, you know, stored in my memory that kind of goes along with this story? And, you know, here He is. You know, I've been told, listen, I watched Him die. I saw Him hang on a cross. I saw them beat Him beyond recognition. I saw His blood run out on the ground. I saw Him hang there. I heard Him with my own ears say, "It is finished." You know, I know where we buried Him, we put Him in this tomb. Is there anything I can remember? Is there anything about Him that would stand to say, you know what, maybe He did come out of that grave? And they begin to think, and they say, you know, I remember hearing Him walk on water. You know, I remember hearing Him, hearing of Him raising the dead Himself. I remember hearing of Him walking by the cripple and saying, you know, rise up and walk. I remember Him, walking up to the lepers and touching their bodies and the leprosy disappearing. I remember Him walking up to the deaf, touching their ears and their hearing being restored. I remember Him walking up to the blind, spitting in the dirt, taking a little mud and rubbing across their eyes and their vision being restored. And so as I run this morning, you know what? He's a pretty amazing fella. This is not that far out of character for Him. You know, this is not that far out of something I could expect from Him. He had an amazing life. You know, I think about what He accomplished, the changes He made. You know, we really have the benefit now of looking back over thousands of years of history. And think about it. We're still standing here this morning. You know, think about it. We got up this morning way before breakfast, folks. You know, way before breakfast. Way before breakfast. You know, listen. You know, way before breakfast for some of you more than me. I had your best interest at heart, believe me. I went over and sampled a little bit of the breakfast they were cooking. I didn't want anybody to get anything bad. So I already been over and checked it out for you. You know, I didn't want anybody to get any bad bacon or anything. So it's good. You know, at least what I had was. So, yeah. But I watched them, they eating as quick as they cook. There may not be anything left. But, you know, we got up way before breakfast this morning to celebrate a man whose life was simply amazing. We're gathered here this morning. Listen, it's been all these thousands of years, and listen, his book's still on the bestseller list. You know, they're still writing songs about him. You know, you listen, I'm looking at you. You went and bought your new Easter dress, your new Easter suit, or you did like, you know, like a lot of men. Here's the way we get a new Easter suit. We get a coat from that suit and pants from that suit and a tie from that suit. Whether they match or not, we put them together. That's a new Easter suit. You know, and so, you know, we've done all that. Why? Because we are celebrating a risen Savior who had an amazing life. Who spent just 3 years or so of ministry on this earth and changed everything that we know. People still talk about him. People still singing about him. I read one of the most awesome stories this week of a man who had been a devout atheist who had been involved. John must have, he's nodding. He must have saw the story. And the more he tried to work against Christ, and the more he tried to work against Christ, the more he began to have to study so he could argue. And the more he studied, he came to realize, you know what? This guy's amazing. This guy's amazing. He ended up accepting Christ. Listen, he had an amazing life. You know, as we run our life like these ladies, we ought to be amazed daily. You know, as we begin to look around and we see the things that Christ does, you know, we see what God does. We're here in the springtime and we look around and, you know, I know some enjoy it more than others. It's, you know, it's working on me, but all these flowers blooming. You know, look around and you see the handiwork of God. You see the sunrise this morning. You see the sunset. You see the stars in the sky. You see that little infant, that little newborn baby. And everywhere we look, God's at work and God is amazing. It's more than just Easter, folks. He's amazing every day. You know, every day you open up your eyes and put your feet on the floor. Don't forget that God is amazing. And here's what's awesome. If the morning comes that you don't open up your eyes and put your feet on the floor on this side of glory, you're going to open up your eyes and put your feet down on the better side of glory. And then you will know He's amazing. His amazing life. What a life. And, you know, you've read the Gospels. Most of you here this morning, you know the story. I'm just hitting the high spots, folks. You know, walking on the water, calming the sea, all the amazing things He did. You know, He did things in just those few short years that we still haven't completely comprehended. We're still trying to understand some of His teaching. We're still trying to digest some of His miracles. Yeah, there's very few times, I tell you one that sticks in my mind, there are very few times that I stand anywhere near a body of water and look at it and think about what it would be like to walk on water. Yeah, I don't know that there's a greater sign of the power of God than walking on water. Shut up. The second part of that is to hear Him say, "Peace be still," when that water's churned up. What an amazing life. Yeah, as they ran, and they were amazed. I don't believe that morning they were just amazed by the fact that the tomb was empty. They were amazed by the culmination of everything they had experienced in His life. They were amazed by everything they had heard about Him, everything they had seen about Him, everything they had witnessed. They were amazed. And here's what's awesome. They only had those few years. As we sit here, Easter 2012, we have the benefit of experience. We may not be walking physically with Him, earthly, able to see Him as those disciples did, as those women did. But every day of our life, if we'll just open up our eyes, we see an amazing God. Amen. His amazing life. An amazing life. Not only an amazing life, what else were they amazed by? There were amazing lessons they taught. I mentioned a while ago that he told stories. He taught things that we're still trying to wrap our little bitty brains around. Yeah, we look at the parables sometimes, and we look at them, and it's amazing to me as you read just the parables. Seems like every time you read a parable, if you really look at it, spend a little time on it. You know what happens to me every time I look at the parable? I learn a little something new. I see something different. You know, think about it. Here we are looking at stories that Christ told some 2,000 years later, going, wow, look at that. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, I thought about that. Here's something to compare that to. One of the things that you run into, if you ever decide for whatever misguided reason to go to seminary, and you start having to write papers, one of the things, Archie's not, he knows, one of the things you discover is, I'll be honest with you, you go into my library and you look, a good portion of my books anyway, they got some years on. They've been around. Yeah, they were handed down from my grandfather. Handed down, Bill's sister gave me a lot of books. Bill gave them to me from his sister. And David used to be up in McGee. I got a lot of books that were passed down. You know which one of my favorite generally? Those were cobwebs and those are kind of, they creak when I open them. Yeah, a lot of these new ones I could care less for. Yeah, hey, a lot of knuckleheads writing books today. I like the old ones. But here's what I discovered. When I go back and use an old book in a paper for school and use it as a reference, one of the high-brow professors would say, that's not new scholarly. I can't even say it. That's not new. You need current scholarship. That's the word I'm looking for. Y'all can tell how well I did. I messed with their minds. New scholarship. And they wanted books that had just been written in the last few years. In other words, what they were saying, we're still learning, trying to understand what Jesus said. We're still digesting it. Think about it. What's the last thing you heard anybody quote 2,000 years old? Probably Jesus. Probably Jesus. I think we may have had it on our sign. I don't know. I know I saw it on a sign one time where it said, God is dead. Nitschke. Somebody come along and wrote under it, Nitschke is dead. God. Yeah. Listen, when we look around us and think about the lessons that Christ taught, it's amazing if you look around and think about the things that Christ taught. Many people who are not even Christian live or try to live by some of the things that Christ taught. Yeah. Being good to each other, being good to children, those kind of things. Yeah. There are people who don't even know Him personally, who have never even darkened the door of a church, who still largely base their life on things Christ. You listen, you hear people all the time. You hear it on television. You hear people you work with who don't know Christ, who don't live for Christ, quoting, saying something out of the Bible. What doesn't the Bible say? Actually, generally what you hear them say is, well, the good book says. That's generally the way they want it. They don't want to, that's the way they want to put it. You know what that tells me? That the lessons that Christ taught to, I'm going to risk hurting my own feelings. Without cheating and looking back at last Sunday's bulletin, who remembers what I preached on last Sunday? Atta girl, I didn't even know. I remember it now that you say it. See there? Out of this crowd, one person. Remember what I preached 2 weeks ago? If you say so.
Yeah.
Was that 2 weeks ago? What I preached last Easter. Yeah. The resurrection, you're cheating. Actually, I preached out of Hebrews 12 last Easter. I don't know why. I just remember seeing that text. Do you, as painful as that was for me and my ego, do you get the point? You don't remember where you were a week ago. You don't remember what you had for lunch yesterday. We don't remember much of anything. But yet, we're gathered here this morning talking about Christ from 2,000 years ago. We gather every Sunday morning to talk about what Christ taught. What an amazing lesson. What an amazing teacher. I can only think, as those women ran from that tomb that morning, they were thinking, now what did he say about, I remember him talking about this tomb stuff. I remember him talking about this resurrection stuff. An amazing lesson. You want to be amazed every day? Pick up your Bible, flip it to whatever page you want to, and start reading. You'll be amazed. Amazing life, amazing lessons, His amazing love. His amazing love. What were they amazed about? Because over and over, Christ had told them what? I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for you. Now, think about what that says. We had this discussion, as Dave mentioned, some time ago, I don't remember which week it was, about making that list about who you would die for and flipping that list over and making a list of who would die for you. And I'll guarantee you that list is shorter. I remember that morning when I asked that on that list of who would die for you, who would it be? And CD piped up and said, Jesus. He didn't give me a second name. He quit after that one. I don't know what that means, if that's the only one or what. But he piped up and said, Jesus. What an amazing love. I've thought about this before. You want to talk about amazing love? Forget about the crucifixion. Forget about His death. Just the fact that He was willing to leave the right hand of His Father, the splendor of heaven, the splendor of glory, the angels and all that involves, and come and spend even a few days on this earth. To leave all that. Think about it. As much as you and I long, as much as you and I desire to go there, He was willing to leave it and come here. That's amazing. Nothing short of amazing. His amazing love. When we begin to consider all that He taught us, all that He did, and then on top of that, He says, you know what? The wages of sin is death. Someone must die, and I will be that one. You know, when you begin to think, I'll be honest with you, I don't have the words. I don't have the ability. I can't even think it. I can't even comprehend it. What it means that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven, came to earth knowing that He would be laying down His life for me. I don't have the ability. I've heard people try to. I've heard people try to put it into song. I've heard preachers try to preach it. I just don't have the skill. I don't know the words. And if I got started, I'd end up crying and couldn't get it all out to explain, to comprehend the amazing love of Jesus. Of what that means. I remember hearing a discussion one time about God and love, and they were talking about the deep theology of it and all, and came to the final conclusion, and this is the thing I remember that stuck in my head. Said, God is love. It's not that God loves, He is love. And if He ever wasn't love, He'd no longer be God, because that's such an integral part of who He is. He knows no other way. He knows no other method. He is love. An amazing love. You and I both know. Love in our day, love in our society. I remember as a kid, I had an old album that I played. Some of you, you know it, you're right. Some of you young enough, you're not even going to know who I'm talking about. I remember I had an old album, probably born to my grandma, my daddy, I don't know. But old album of Hank Williams. And on that song, he sang us. How many of you have no clue who Hank Williams? Not Hank Williams Jr. He couldn't carry his daddy's guitar. Hank Williams. I remember that song said, "You got no more money, honey. I got no more time." Most of you, those of you who are young enough, you don't know who Hank Williams is, you probably ought to get on iTunes or somewhere and find that song and learn that lesson, because that's the way much of life is. You're going to discover that people love you, teenagers. They love you when they're gassing your tank. They love you when you got mama and daddy's money in your pocket. When you don't have any gas, you don't have any money, they're done with you. Got no more money, honey, I got no more time. That's the way typically, a lot of times, love works in our culture. You know, as long as you're doing for me, giving for me, helping me, carrying me, I love you. They'll just get right slobbery. Yeah. But when the money runs out, the gas runs out, and you quit carrying them, they're done with you. Here's what's beautiful about the love of God. I don't have anything He needs to begin with. If I have anything, it's His. Yeah, He doesn't love me because of what I can do for Him. I could have never been born. I could disappear this moment, and He is still God. He still owns the cattle on the hills. He still knows how many hairs are on your head. He still sees the sparrow when it falls. And it has nothing to do with me. He just loves. What an amazing love. Everybody in here, if you've had many years on you at all, you've experienced that no more money, no more time thing. An amazing love, amazing lessons, amazing life, an amazing legacy. That 2,000 years later, we're still amazed. Yeah, we didn't witness it, we didn't see it, but we are still amazed. Yeah. Think about it. We're still amazed by this story. Yeah. We're still amazed by what we know about Christ. Listen, while I'm on a roll, I might as well throw some folks under the bus. I look around and I read the story of the Mormons, and I read about Joseph Smith. There's nothing amazing about his story. Nothing. Yeah. Matter of fact, there's some of it that's kind of sad. You look at Buddhism, and you look at there's nothing amazing about those stories. When you talk about the legacy of Christ, I look around me this morning, and I see some people who are the legacy of Christ. I see folks. I am part of the legacy of Christ. Yeah. I know some of your stories. I know where you were. I know where you'd be if it wasn't for the hand of God that reached down and lifted you, as the songwriter put, out of the miry clay. Because you were sinking deep in sin. Yeah. I know of the amazing legacy of God. I know what Christ has done. I've witnessed it in some of you in your life. I knew some of you when you didn't know Christ. Yeah. Listen, I've heard your stories. We are the legacy of Christ, the changed lives. Those that are different, those that have been redeemed, and their life is different today. I've heard some of you make statements like, you know, kind of like that little song that says, you know, God's still working on me. I'm not what I ought to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be. Listen, the legacy of Christ, the legacy of what God has done. I'm not going to call names, but I could in this very room this morning call some names and talk about the change that God has made, that I have witnessed, I have observed myself. I didn't read about it in the book. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear somebody else. I have witnessed it with my own eyes, and I have seen what God has done in your life.
Amen.
We're part of the legacy, an amazing legacy. You stop and think. You know, I like Rhonda's daddy talks about. Sometimes says, the people all the time look at that story of Jesus turning the water into wine. They said they don't believe it. One guy piped up, "Well, I believe it." So what makes you believe it? He said, "Because when my daddy got saved at our house, he turned wine into groceries." Let me tell you something. God does amazing things. He's leaving an amazing legacy. He is changing people in this very room. He has worked on people. I have sat and listened to your story and heard you by your own testimony say, you know what? Once upon a time, I was so and so. And I'm not perfect yet, but God's working on this in my life and God's changing this in my life. You are part of the legacy of God, an amazing legacy. So when you run from here this morning, wherever you're going, when you're going to lunch, when you're going to see family, don't forget, you're part of the amazing legacy. You run like those women. You'd be amazed at what He's done. His amazing life, His amazing lessons, His amazing love, His amazing legacy, His amazing longing. That He longed for you and I. That He longed for you and I. When we first brought Kenzie home from China, as the other kids were growing up, I still worked for the bakery, worked all those hours, and so Rhonda didn't work, since generally she took them to the doctor. So I wasn't really accustomed, real aware of how that process operated, which probably kept me out of jail and a nurse out of the hospital. Because when we took Kenzie, I'm just being honest with you this morning. I told you I'm in that group that God's still working on. Okay, yeah. When we brought Kenzie home and they took her in that doctor's office and they want to do blood work, and that nurse, just, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm gonna hurt him. You know, she's crying and he's dabbing. You know. And I'm thinking, well, she's a baby, that's normal, trying to find blood in a baby's arm. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, Ron, if you'll just nod, I get him. You know, all I got to know is we went over the line, and I'll get him. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, poke me, take some of my blood. You know, something. Quit digging in that baby's arm. Yeah, probably all of us have felt that way at some point. We've stood beside our baby's bed and thought, you know, let me have the sickness. Let me have the problem. Let me have the pain. I'll take it. I'm a big boy. You know, they don't even understand it. And we stood there, and part of the pain of watching our children suffer is knowing that there's nothing typically that we can do in that department. We just have to be there with them. Jesus Christ, one of my favorite songs, Becky Smith sings it. I have no idea who else sings it. Talks about how God stepped out on His balcony and looked into the darkness of time. Looked out through eternity. And He saw me. Folks, fat don't work on you just a tad. That He stepped out on the balcony, and before this earth was ever founded, before the first person took a breath, He looked out through eternity and He saw you and knew that if He created you, His Son would have to die. That's nothing short of amazing. That's nothing short of amazing. We do everything we can to dodge pain, to dodge suffering. And God looked through eternity and said, you know what? If I create them, I know they're going to fall. And I know that my Son will have to die. And He longed for a relationship with me so much that He created me anyway. Amazing. As you run, run with amazement at a God who loves so much. Not just on Easter. You do know He loves you on Mother's Day. You do know He loves you on Father's Day and Flag Day and, you know, every other day Hallmark's created. He loves you all those days too. You do know He loves you on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, not just on Sunday. He's amazing. want to ask you to bow your heads as our musicians come. In this room this morning, the majority of the people here, as I look around, you have professed Christ as your Savior. But you needed to be reminded this morning of just how amazing He is. You need to come this morning and kneel at this altar and say, Lord, this Easter morning, I just want to thank You for being so amazing. So amazing that You'd love me. As I run my race, never allow me to forget Your amazing love, Your amazing legacy, Your amazing life. Never let me forget. And like those women, let me tell everyone. You need to come and you want to kneel this Easter morning and say, Lord, I just want to thank You. Just want to praise You. Just want to tell You I love You. So often we talk about God loving us, but this morning I just want to tell You I love You. This morning I just want to come and kneel at this altar. I'm not asking You for anything. I'm not asking You to heal anybody. I'm not asking You to give me anything. Lord, I just want to come this morning and thank You and tell You I love You. But more importantly, early this Easter morning, you might be like those women and you have seen the resurrected Christ. And you don't know Him personally. You've never asked Him into your heart. You don't have a personal relationship with Him. And you want to come this morning. Let us show you from God's Word how you can be saved. How you can accept the free gift of Christ. The shed blood that cleansed your sins. The broken body that was broken for you. The resurrected Savior. You don't know Him. Would you come this morning?